Okay, the quick bit. I'm Andrew Gibbons. This is Jackie Leonard. Jackie's the sensible one. I'm the one who talks too much. Today, Jackie, we're talking about what? Go on then, throw it straight to you.
We're still on the topic of becoming, aren't we, Andrew? So you want to take it in a slightly different direction today, which I think is very valid. We're going to look at it in terms of support, particularly support within the workplace.
Yeah, becoming better at what we do, fulfilling our potential, all the things that you need to talk about. It's so important. Becoming more effective, which doesn't happen randomly or by accident. And you're right. I prompted this one. I want us to talk about what more, because I think after 40 years of observation, very little, frankly, happens in the workplace by the employer side, by the line management side to help make this happen. And a lot of organizations say, oh, how dare you? We've got to spend millions on talent development and we've got this, that and the other. We've got big charts on the wall for succession planning. And then there's no evidence of that being used. So I'm going to be quite critical of organizational practice in terms of helping people to become more effective.
Yeah, not like you to be critical, Andrew.
So I love it.
I know you'll play the devil's advocate on everything. So
yes, well, I'm not just poking it, I really mean all this.
I'm going to also say that you can lead a horse to water, can't you? So there is this element of course I agree with you. There is this utopian place where an organization will fully support their learner, and that you know, for it to work well, for it to work best, that needs to happen.
Sure.
But also, organizations can have all this stuff.
Yeah.
Still relying on the individual to make that change, to put the effort in, to have an attitude of becoming. Because it's not, I've said for years, you should appoint for attitude, train for skills, because you give people a personality transplant or implant for that matter. So I think there are people out there, aren't there, that are hungry to learn.
Yeah.
The benefit of, that appreciate that life is a learning journey, that actually when you stop learning, if you're working, you stop learning, you stop earning. But if you stop learning, actually life is, what is life? It's boring for one thing.
Okay, all right. And again, we agree too much sometimes. We should get a little bit more crunchy and dispute some stuff. All right, I'll go with what you're saying. Of course I will. And I'm not going to say but, because that would suggest I haven't agreed with you.
Oh, go on, say but.
Yes, you can be drawn to water. I don't see much drawing to water going on. I don't see much in the way of organizations drawing their people towards an environment in which they can learn best. I hear a lot of talk. I see a lot of investment. I see a lot of money spent on learning management systems and very little use made of them. I see no managers measured or remunerated on their ability to develop themselves or others. And until they are, and not much of that will happen. And I'm not being massively critical, because a lot of this is line managerial. If line managers aren't creating a local environment in which people expect, there's an expectation on them to learn, it won't happen. And that's not a line manager's fault if organizations aren't saying it's part of their job.
And you're right. It has to run throughout, doesn't it? It has to be the whole thing, rather than just, you can't play lip service to it. And even if the organization has a cult, has this will, it has to trickle down to the sharp end. And as you're right, the leader, the manager, the supervisor has to walk their talk.
Yeah. And it has to be part of their job, Jackie. I think it's too much to expect of busy managers and supervisors, team leaders, anyone in a management role. It's too much to expect of these busy people to take something else on, which what this would be, if it's not already part of their core activity on which they are, say again, reviewed, measured, and remunerated. As soon as that starts to happen, they'll start doing it. And I can't blame people for not doing it when it's not part of their job. And I look at job descriptions. Yes, they still exist. And I don't see this on management's job descriptions. I don't see a manager with a role of explicitly, maybe by implication, not explicitly saying, a serious part of your job is to get more skills out of you and your people. That is something that's important. Does that get discussed at whatever it's called these days. We used to call it appraisals and some sort of review. I don't think it is. Maybe I'm in that organization too long and it's more of this going on than I believe. I just don't think that's happening very much.
Mm. So it's about responsibility then, isn't it? It's about every person or every part of the organization taking responsibility for their piece of that puzzle, because it is a puzzle.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking it doesn't sound too complicated, but hey, I'm not in one of these difficult roles. And I'm empathetic to leaders of all levels in organizations. It's a hard job to do. I guess what I'm saying, though, is if you've got better people, if you've got people who are becoming better at what they do, your job as a leader at any level is going to be easier. And you're not going to lose the good people that say, I'm out of here. I've given them a chance. I'm going somewhere who's going to actually allow me to become better at what I do. And we keep reading. I keep reading about how capable, ambitious, not only young, but very often young people are looking not for money all the time, but are looking for development opportunities. Now, I'd like to believe that. And if you're not providing those development opportunities, really, genuinely, in the perception of those people, rather than having a policy on it, then they're going to leave and go somewhere that does provide it, and you'll end up filling a hole.
So here's the question. What's the reason? What's the reason, organization? Because it seems, you know, you and I will agree, it's sound sense, not just... There's commercial sense in doing.
People are more productive, they're more efficient, they stay longer, they're happier. Hey, that's a good place to be.
Yeah. So what's the reason it doesn't happen?
Well, I have thought about this. Notes. and what's the reason it doesn't happen? It's a good question. Of course, it's a good question. I'm not sure I can give a good enough answer. But for me, the reason that it's not happening now, and by the way, what I'm talking about not happening is providing an environment where people feel there's an expectation on them to get better, and also that they're going to be rewarded for doing so, not necessarily financially, but by progression. So why is it not happening? Okay, first of all, history's not on your side. It hasn't happened up to now. You've got by. There's this wonderful term that I came across a long time ago called acceptable underperformance. And I think a lot of organizations have settled for a culture, the way things done around here, of acceptable underperformance. Well, we could do all that, but to be honest, it sounds like a lot of work, a lot of expense, a lot of risk and exposure. As the leader of a learning and development function, that if it falls over, I'm going to get blamed. So if I don't do it, no one's on my case. So let's just not do it, because the potential value to be gained from doing it isn't worth the risk to me in my job of it falling over. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. I think we just bumbled along up to now, and we got away with bumbling along. Maybe we always will. I'm starting to get realistic about this stuff. Now, I didn't used to be. So maybe bumbling along is the only way we're ever going to be. Maybe it's smaller, nimbler, more agile. There's a word I used to hear a lot, don't anymore like so much. Maybe it's the more agile organizations that say, hey, we want to keep our best people. We want to pay them a lot. Of course we do. But more than anything else, we want them to enjoy their work and feel they're getting better. Maybe it's only the smaller organizations that are capable of doing that, because the others have got to have policies and got to do it all globally or whatever.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of reasons. Scale, history, disinclination, exposure to risk. This sounds tough. Maybe it's a lot tougher than I'm making it sound.
Yeah, I think it is tough. And for all those reasons you've just mentioned.
About 15.
it sort of sounds simple, but it's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
And also I think you've got this, you know, because when you think about it, there are more opportunities to learn now, aren't there? We've discovered since the pandemic is there are so many learning opportunities at your fingertips. Learning is far more accessible.
Yeah, it is.
To learn, right? So we've got individuals out there outside of their work environments that will go online and find on YouTube. You know, we're doing it every day, aren't we? You want to learn how to do something, yeah? You want to, even if it's hammer and nail in without it bending.
Well, we were looking at AI stuff this morning, weren't we? And it's scary just how accessible answers are now.
So you'll go onto YouTube and you'll find a video. It's the web, and you'll find something to read.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's so. So I suppose, on one respect, we can argue that actually it should be more easily accessible now to workplaces.
Yeah.
But I suppose then you have this. How do we make that? How do we structure that? How do we make that equitable? How do we make that not just accessible, but and how do we know that what these people are finding is worthwhile?
I mean, crikey, you're giving me number 17, 18, 19, and 38 reasons why here. No, because I absolutely agree with what you're saying, because you mentioned structure. I think the way learning and development functions are structured is, despite all the talk and only talk about 70-20-10, it's still geared towards menu-driven, same as last year, running training courses and giving people on better jobs MBAs. Why not the people in the poorer jobs? What about when you'd last spend £26,000 on someone earning £14,000 a year? Don't go there. So I think structurally, organisations are not geared up for any of this stuff. And I think we're talking about here, let's remind ourselves, providing an organizational environment in which people can become better at what they do most efficiently. And that's about meeting individual needs, contextual, individual, to me, unique needs. That's hard to do. And that means a realignment of the skill set, of the very functionality of learning development, and maybe some of the apparent value. If you've got a learning development department of a lot of experts, you've got a little empire, that looks important. If you start saying, well, you've all got to have these skills, and if you haven't, I'll find it elsewhere, you suddenly find you haven't got the skills, you're buying them in, and you get slimmer, and you appear less significant. So there could be all sorts of reasons why this doesn't happen. I'm arguing against myself here. I'm almost arguing myself into a position of, stop shouting about things that can't happen, Andrew. Maybe this is impossible, Jackie.
Yeah, nothing's impossible except striking a match on a jelly. I don't believe anything is impossible. There you go. You don't try that at home.
No, I'm just thinking about it. Yeah.
So I think I don't believe it's impossible. I do believe.
I want to.
I do believe, however, that it's difficult. Yeah, it's a huge challenge, and I think, like you said, the bigger the organization, the greater that challenge is, because then you're dealing with more individuals.
Unless you deal with a part of it. I mean, I always think that organizations are really subcultures, that they're federations. Yes, we're one organization. Hallelujah, that's great for a lot of things. Within that, though, there are very differently done ways of doing things. There's subcultures everywhere. So maybe the only way to do this sort of stuff is almost like guerrilla warfare, just like I tend to do with organizations. I used to do whole organization function stuff. I gave up years ago because it just didn't work. But you can change bits of organization if you've got a local champion and the right circumstances. So let's just summarize, because I'm looking over there at my stopwatch, which is on the other big monitor, and it's saying 12 minutes already. My conclusion is, yes, providing an environment where people are expected to and provided with the opportunity to develop and grow faster than they would randomly is good business sense. Yeah. Less than until line managers have it as a reasonable expectation and resource to do so, it will never happen.
Yeah, I agree with that summary. And I think it's not simple. You know, it's just not an easy ask. It doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't keep plugging at it. We shouldn't try. And that's, I think, for me, is that just because it's difficult, you know, that there are so many good reasons commercially why you should.
I'm not going to say any more or turn into an 18-minute version. Thanks very much. That's been useful. I'll have to go away and think more carefully about whether I believe this is on.